Everyone, I am live on air. Is this Heart FM or London Baptist Church? Thank you. Water is life. Did someone provide this glass of water? May the Lord truly bless you. Thank you. Before we start, there's a reading that I want us to do together as a church. It's going to come up there. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 14 will come up on the screen shortly. And we'll go over it together. There we go. May we read together is David's prayer to the Lord. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord God of our father, Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatest and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generous as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Amen. That was David's prayer. This week, my sermon is about Thanksgiving. This one, I will decide one of the weeks through this year, I will declare it a Thanksgiving week. This will be my prerogative as the minister to choose a week that will come together to say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us." But not today. This is an introduction to what is going to come. Be ready for it. Are you ready for that day when it's coming? The Bible says, always be ready. Don't be caught wanting. But this morning in my sermon, I thought I would start up with a story concerning Thanksgiving. There's a group of people who went to America. When they go to America, all what was on their mind is to get there. Some didn't make it. They perished on the sea. But those who made it to America, they thanked God. If it was in today's language, they were going to be called immigrants. But those days, they were called pilgrims. When they go to America, they chose a day that they set aside to praise God. And in the end, they called it an annual national day. So they say in America they celebrate it fourth Thursday of November. In Canada, somewhere in October. So that's why I thought, well, as a church also, we need to set this one aside. The week that we will thank our God. Every year we will set that one aside as long as I live at this church. Amen. I'm not imposing you on you, but we are doing it for our God, not purposely for myself. So here the story goes. In America, there is such an expression to thank their God. This was first proclaimed by George Washington in 1789. It was Lincoln's proclamation of 1863, which made it an annual event. In 1941, USA Congress fixed its observance on
on the fourth Thursday of November. The story goes on to say the pilgrims, after arriving in America, had a lot to thank the Lord for. Some of them had perished on sea, but those who made it, they didn't worry about those who had died. What was on their mind is to thank God for taking them through. Maybe it was the promised land by then. Well, a lot of people want to go to America. I've never been there. I want to be there. When the finances allow me, I'll go to America one day. But as we carry on, these people, when they got there, they thanked their God. But these were not the first people to thank God. Brethren, do you have a set time that you thank God in your life? Or you just take it for granted, things, this is the way they should be. Throughout the Bible, we are told of similar situations of people of Israel setting aside 7 days for a feast of thanksgiving to the Lord. So these pilgrims in America, they were not the first ones. This was the norm in the Old Testament. So I think we are also advised that, oh, we must copy what was happening before. Thankfulness is what they were doing to thank their God. What is thankfulness? I'm not good at English, but I was saying the other day, I'm saying, God, I'm not eloquent. The reply that came to me was, Moses said the same as when I told him, I am sending you. It's not you to tell me that you're not eloquent. I am sending you. So I'm glad God sent me here with my broken English. I'm here. So thankfulness, what is it? I googled around and scraped in the dictionary and I found this answer. It says, it is the aspect of praise that gives thanks to God for what he has done for us. Amen. That's thankfulness. What God has done for us. In true sense, thanksgiving springs from a grateful heart. Amen. It's not something that you need to read or something you need to be lectured on, but it should come from your heart. Am I right? Most of you have gone to hotels or restaurants. You pay for your food. After eating your food, whether you enjoy it or not, you give a tip. But hotel owners, what they've decided now, you no longer give tips to individual workers. There's a collecting bowl where you put your tip. So that at the end of the day, even those unfavorable workers whom we didn't like when they were serving food, they will also get something. Thank you. Not necessarily for the good food, but for what they have done. The service that they were giving to you is what you thank them for. Amen? So, what are you thanking God for this morning? Don't tell me because God has provided me with the best husband or her best wife, so I want to thank God. Or I've got the best job in the world, so I want to thank God. Thanksgiving should spring from your heart. The Bible says it's a requirement. This requirement is of all believers, regardless of your initial attitudes. We usually give conditions to God that, well, if God gives me the best job, then I will tithe in the church. If God does this, then I will do this. There are no conditions here. The Bible says there are no conditions. If you take your Bibles in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Amen. That's all. You are giving God thanks before all those material things that are coming to you. You are giving God thanks for Christ. Amen. Christ died for you before you even requested it. But it was God's grace. So don't you think before you even start anywhere, that's where your thanksgiving starts. It starts right there because God has shown his mercy to you. The Bible goes on to say again, we should be grateful to God for all things. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear that? Your things are secondary, but hear what the Bible says. These are the conditions that you should give thanks for before anything else. The third one comes from Colossians 3:17. It says, And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Those three. So, I can presume these pilgrims, when they go to America, this was in their mind. Thanking God for what he has done through Christ. And then, thanking God for taking them to America. Your conditions come next to what the Lord is saying to you, you should do. Thank him first for Christ. So in your life, have you considered what the Bible says? Or it's always, you prioritize your list before God's list. God's list comes first. Let me tell you this. There's another thing. God gave you the opportunity of life. So it is God who sets the pace of life. Am I right? He sets the pace. He even says, well, this oxygen is going to go in your nose. Carbon dioxide must come out. It's not your choice. That's God. He's given you life in that way. So we say, in true essence, life is what God gives you and what we make of it. Okay? We did not choose to be in this place. No, God didn't choose this for us to be in this place. We chose to be in this place. Some are worshiping at Kingswood Baptist Church this morning. Some are worshiping at Riley this morning. Some are worshiping in Southend this morning. But we chose to be here. God didn't choose this place for us. So, but God gives us the opportunity of doing what is right. You didn't choose to be born in that family that you call your family now. I didn't choose to come from Africa. I chose to come here, but I didn't choose to be in Africa. I didn't choose to be a boy, but I am one. So, the choices that we make take us to where we are, like this morning. Some like to paraphrase that story in Jeremiah. They say, I'm here because of God's plans. This is where God wants me to be. But that wasn't God's choice. It was you who said, well, dear wife, I think it's high time now. Let's go to United Kingdom. Jenea came first and then I followed her. That wasn't God's choice. That was my choice. As we look at our lives today, there are certain things that we are thankful to God, and there are some certain things that we are regretful. Because sometimes when we make mistakes, we look back and say, oh, why did I do that? But this morning, God is not looking at your mistakes. God wants to take you at a certain next level. God is not worried about your past level. God is taking you to the next level. Amen? This is what he is worried about. Going back to our story that we read this morning. In this story, Jesus, as he was walking, as he was used to, as he was preaching, he met these 10 men. They were lepers. And listen to this. I want you to get this point. Jesus was walking near the border of Samaria and Galilee. Near the border of Samaria and Galilee. The point I want to make here, Jesus is walking, meeting different communities, preaching the gospel. Yes? He met 10 lepers. In the 10 lepers, there were two nationals. But only one is mentioned. Already, something clicks in our minds. A Samaritan returned. The others, we presume they were Jews. So Jesus is touching every community. Every level of your life is being touched by Jesus. Because he's taking you to a next level. He's not worried about your past. These lepers were quarantined outside the community. But Jesus goes there. Jesus is a Jesus of no quarantine. He's not quarantined at all. He even meets those who have been rejected by society. And he goes there because he wants to take them to the next level of their life. Amen? So this morning also Jesus is saying to you, I am taking you to the next level. Forget about the past. Forget about all the sorrows that are in your life. It's thing of the past. Jesus is this morning taking you to a next level. Whether the society has been rejecting you, whether the society said, well, you've got leprosy, we don't want you near us. Because the Bible says leprosy was such a deadly disease, like what we call AIDS today. Once you had a leprosy, it says you could have your skin peeling off, sores on your body, and the only person who could satisfy that you are well was the priest. So if the priest says, "You are well, my daughter, you are well, my son," you could rejoin the community. But Jesus is now bringing the medication to these people with such a deadly disease. A life of a leper is someone who is isolated, who is not wanted in the community. So, what comes to my mind is what Jesus did at that cross. He sacrificed his life because I was quarantined from my father because of my sins. But Jesus said, "I will go there and heal him. I am taking you to the next level, my daughter, my son. And I will die for you." And Jesus died so that me, the leper, can be welcome back to my father. The life of a leper is so miserable. Your life is in shambles. You have got no hope. Your hope is gone. Nothing is remaining that you are looking for or forward to. But this morning, Jesus is saying, "I want to take you to a next level. I have got three items that I want to bring to you this morning. The first one, we should give thanks for his mercy and grace. As people with leprosy, we have been cast out of the community. We have been quarantined. We are living in the unwanted area. But Jesus is coming to you this morning and say, "Daughter, son, I want you. Come." So that's why I say we must give thanks for that. So the first letter or word that I want you to put in your mind as we go along is belong. You could have heard this before, but I'm bringing it in a different way. So Jesus is saying, "I want you to belong because you don't belong now. You've got leprosy. Others don't want to mix with you. But I'm coming to you. I say, well, I want you to belong." The King James Version says, "These people, when they saw Jesus coming, they lifted up their voices, said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Are you lifting up your voice this morning and say, "Jesus, have mercy on me, on my life"? Are you telling him? Because if there is mercy in your life, you have got leprosy. And no one doesn't want to come near you, but only Jesus. Are you going to lift up your voice and call him? So that you'd come out of the isolation that you are in right now. Sometimes, you know, if you've got problems around you, your mind is not settled. You are stressed out. In the end, if you carry on in that stressful mood, you can be sick and very ill. But Jesus is saying, come out of that situation and shout. No one should shout for you, but yourself. Shout to Jesus. He will hear you and heal you. So, once you have been healed of leprosy, leprosy is like sin. If you've taken away your sin, take it to Jesus. You can now belong. Amen. So, Jesus wants you to belong. He doesn't want you to be quarantined. But we might also ask ourselves, how did these 10 lepers, as they were isolated from community, how did they know about Jesus? The answer is in Mark 1:28. It says, "And so the news about Jesus spread quickly everywhere in the province of Galilee." That's according to the good news. So, likewise, we must also spread this good news. Not necessarily that you've got to be preachers, but spread the good news of Jesus. He is saying, "Shout to me, and I will heal you of your leprosy." This is how you spread the news about Jesus. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is the comforter. Jesus is everything. If you take everything to the cross, this slain lamb of God will wash you and get rid of all those problems that you have. These 10 lepers, according to Jewish tradition or according to the Bible, leprosy was defined as a contagious disease. And according to the story in the book of Numbers, it was contaminating the dwelling place of the Lord. That is why they were quarantined. If one has got leprosy, he was to be quarantined because they didn't want you to defile the dwelling place of the Lord. But Jesus is saying to me, to you and me today, you are no longer to be isolated. I am here. I will take away the leprosy from you. Just like those 10 lepers, I will heal you. So the story goes on. As they were leaving to go to the priest, listen to the miracle. As they were leaving, they were healed. That's what the miracle is. But the Bible doesn't tell us that did they get to the priest to be examined by the priest before they returned. It doesn't say. It only says they left. And Jesus said, go to the priest. Jesus said, I have come not to break the law, but to fulfill the law. Look at the sequence of events here. The Jews are saying, if someone has got leprosy, if you think you've been healed, go to the priest first who will examine you and confirm you that you are clear of it. So Jesus now, before the Pharisees and the Sadducees realize what is happening, Jesus is healing these people with a miracle and he's sending them to the priest. He's a Jesus of the law. He's a Jesus who comes to fulfill the law. He is doing it, but they don't say it. So as they go, one of them is healed. In the book of Psalms 40, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a slim pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand on. This is what Jesus is there for today, this morning. You are in a pit where you don't know how you're going to come out of there. But he is saying, I will pull you out and put you on a firm ground, on a solid rock, whereby once you are standing on that solid rock, you are belonging. Amen? This is what he is doing this morning. How often do you thank God? How often do you thank God? That is my theme this morning. The second thing, we should give thanks for his healing and restoration. On that one, I said, I'll give you the second B, which is believe. These lepers, they listened to what Jesus was saying. Go and see the priest. Go and see the priest. So when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And so it was so that as they went, they were cleansed. Amen. Jesus proved his critics wrong. If they thought he was breaking the law, no, he wasn't. He sent them to the priest. I want you to pick a point here. It's the point of believing. Do you get me? These lepers didn't even argue with Jesus. Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. They went. If it was us today, you first bring a long list to God. God, if you do A, B, C, D, then I will do C. If you do A, B, C, D, then I will do E. God is not a God who is supposed to be set conditions for. He is a faithful God. He knows what you want anyway. So all you need is you should give thanks for his healing and restoration. Once you've done that, you are part of the believers. Amen? You need to believe in what Jesus tells you. What these lepers taught me in this story is this: obedience. Are we obedient to God this morning? The Bible tells us that we must give thanks always, regardless of your situation. Just imagine if you was one of those lepers. Were you going to give Jesus a list of questions before you go to the priest? The instruction is go to the priest. But today, we give God conditions. We set targets for God. God is not a God of target. He's a God of grace. Amen? So if you believe God is a God of grace, don't set targets for him. He is a God of grace. Don't give God conditions. We want God to do the way he does his things. He says, my ways are not your ways. So there's no way you can ask God to do the way you want it. You just ask for God for his mercy. God is not a luck charm whereby you say, well, I need this to happen now. I need to consult my luck charm for things to happen. God doesn't work like that. He is a God of creation. He created this world without instructions from you or me. His command supersedes all our wants. It is God's way, not my way. So from today, you must always say, God's way, not my way. Amen. So once you have done that, you are now belonging and you are now believing. Because you are one of the lepers, but Jesus said, go and see the priest. You've been healed, you've been cleansed. Now, as you have believed in what Jesus is sending you, you are part of the family. So you are also belonging now. The third thing, we should give thanks for his forgiveness and salvation. We are now behaving. Amongst the 10 lepers, only one returned, a Samaritan for that matter. You know that Bible story where Samaritans and Jews, they don't mix. It goes back to history, what was happening in their lives. Well, we are not going there this morning. But the Samaritan returned to a Jew. Jesus Christ was a Jew. And he knelt down on his knees. And Jesus asked, where are the other nine? Only one is returned. How do we behave to our God? Do we give thanks always? This is the question. How often do you thank God? My brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to tell you something. Next time when you visit your GP, him or her, ask them what happens if you keep on eating without releasing. If you keep on eating food, every now and then you eat, okay? That food is not coming out. I want you to go and ask your GP next time we visit them. If they are honest with you, they say if you keep on eating without releasing, you will suffer from constipation. Amen. If you keep on eating without releasing, you will suffer from constipation. So the same applies also this morning. If you keep on receiving from God without giving back to God and saying thank you, you will suffer from constipation. Okay? So be warned. Don't say Gilson never told us. I have told you. Also listen to this. Christians today, they have forgotten what the Bible says about giving thanks. The Christian's heart is now promoting me always. Your heart has got this in mind. Did you have these things in your mind this morning as we were coming to this church? One, what am I going to get from the service today? Two, am I going to be encouraged today? Three, will I enjoy the sacrifice and the praise? Four, will I be glad that I came? This was a Christian who was going to church. It's now centered on me, not on God. Do you have such questions as you go to church? Center on God. How often do you give thanks to God? The last one, there was a sailor who was stranded on an island. He had a list of complaints. The first one, his complaint was, I am stranded on this island with no hope of recovery. Listen to his blessing. I am alive, not drowned like everyone else on the ship. His second complaint, I have no clothes to cover me up. Here is the blessing. I am in a hot climate, so if I had clothes, I wouldn't wear them anyway. The third complaint, I am without any defense against man or beast. Here is the blessing. I am on an island where I saw no harmful beast or harmful man. How is our behavior? Should it be that of thanking God or complaining always? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 has got the answer. Give thanks in all circumstances to God. As I conclude, my friends, this morning, I want to remind you, God needs your thanksgiving. He wants a grateful heart. We have a lot to learn from the 10 lepers. Only one returned. Are you going to be one of those returning to Christ and tell him, thank you? Just thank you. That's all Christ wants. Nothing else, nothing more. Are you feeling thankful this morning? If you are, thank God for what he has done in your life through Christ. This is all what he wants. My prayer this morning is going to be a hymn. Some of you might be very familiar with that hymn written by Martin Ricard. He wrote this hymn during hard times. He was a minister. He buried 40 people in 1 week. Amongst the people that he buried was his wife. But that didn't drag him behind. He was still going forward, thanking God. Let's pray together. Now, thank God.